The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good day, friends and family, and thank you for tuning in to what may be the most important Duncan Trussell Family Hour that has ever been released from this podcast studio here in Los Angeles, California. In fact, in the history of podcasts, when they resurrect Abraham Lincoln from his moldering, filthy coffin, wherever it happens to lay in whatever Masonic mausoleum it happens to be decomposing it, and use nanobots to reinvigorate him, this will be the podcast that they smash into his still moldering ears as he slowly re-solidifies using the high-tech, futuristic gel that they will rub on all dead presidents to bring them back to life after the singularity. This will be the podcast that they play in the rejuvenation pods. Because this podcast, this episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, is the official beginning of the 2012 December
Iron Meat Shift Challenge.
That's right. This is it. This podcast is 100% for all of you out there who are dissatisfied with the fact that your bodies are too fat, that you feel unhealthy, that you feel a little too droopy. This podcast is for those of you out there who no longer want it to be a net loss when you take your shirt off in front of your sweet lovers. It's horrifying. When I look at myself in the mirror right now, it is not great. What's going on is not great. My torso looks like the face of the mascot of some greasy roadside burger joint. One of those like chubby-cheeked freaks where my nipples are the kind of droopy, watery eyes. My belly button is the open mouth hoping that I'll shove a French fry or a croissant directly into my stomach. I don't want that anymore. Over time, I've realized that this meat body that I happen to be inhabiting is not where I want it to be. And there's been time, I know people who think it's lame to get in shape. There's people who, when I mention like, man, I'd really like to be in shape, they've rolled their eyes at me. Like there's something wrong with wanting your body to be in shape. It's a strange thing. There's an actual, I think there's a culture out there of people who somehow have made it somehow interesting if you don't take care of your body. Like it's a sign of your transcendent rebellious attitude. And maybe for some people it is, but man, it just doesn't work out. Not taking care of your body doesn't work out. I've seen it firsthand with people that I'm very close to. Eventually the fucking thing malfunctions. So it's like eventually you're living inside the meat version of the World Trade Center, and those slices of pizza that you've been shoving into your face are like the planes flying into it. And the thing just fucking collapses with the spark of your consciousness trapped somewhere underneath all that heaving, blustering fat and sickness. And that's what old age is like for a lot of people. Just a spark of consciousness trapped inside this collapsed building that collapsed because they didn't take care of themselves. They smoked, they drank too much, they didn't exercise, and you end up fucked up. And aside from that, because who really cares about whatever happens in the next 20 years or 30 years when we get old? Because by then they're going to have nanobots that'll be able to reassemble your DNA and turn you into a fresh young lad or a beautiful young lass. And you can go skipping through the technological fields of glory without having to worry about anything or any consequence because we'll all be living in heaven. But right now, there's more immediate problems for those of us out there who aren't happy with the way we look or the way we feel. Specifically, it ruins, it diminishes your ability to have sex. I don't know if you guys read this article that just came out on Reddit, where they did an analysis to see what women look for in men. And it's not symmetry, which is something that I always thought. It's they look for people who are lean. Because if you're fat, it indicates you have a weakened immune system. If you got all that white grease, greasy old fat accumulating in your body, it weakens your immune system. And the ladies, they don't want your jizz to be lazy jizz. They don't want your jizz to be like people in sweatpants and big giant shirts wandering towards their ovaries and stopping several times to take naps and buy big gulps at their ovarian 7-Elevens. They want your jizz to be lean, fast, like wild wolves running through the forest of their vaginal canals. That's what a woman wants more than anything. All women secretly want your sperm to be wolf packs. And that's not going to happen if you're eating crappy food and drinking too much. But of course, aside from the fact that if you don't take care of yourself, you'll end up as a sick, broken, wobbling, drooling husk of a person and no one will want to have sex with you, there's a deeper reason to start taking care of our body. There's a deeper reason to start taking care of your body, which is that every single time you watch your hand bring that unhealthy, crappy food into your mouth, it's a sign that you can't control yourself. It's a sign that you're an automaton, a robot, some predestined meat robot that's running some endless program based on habituation that happened years and years ago. And the part of yourself, the spark of yourself that knows that you're more than that, the spark of yourself that recognizes that you are essentially freedom, it makes that spark feel like something in solitary confinement. It creates a kind of horrific dissonance between the part of yourself that is ultimately powerful, completely free, unchained by anything, and filled with exuberance and love for life, and this other part of yourself that's just like any overfed chihuahua gobbling up the closest pile of leftovers that it can find. These two things are, you have to, I guess, pick between which of those things you want to be. And there's a kind of romanticize being that fat, greasy old chihuahua, you know. I'm just enjoying life. I'm enjoying life, man. I'm the party guy. Just eat whatever. But man, you know that that's not sustainable. And if all of us are really into this idea of some kind of shift happening in the world, and if all of us are really into the idea of transforming the world, then the first place we have to start if we're going to transform the world is the part of the world that we inhabit, our bodies. That's the first place. If we're into the idea of a sustainable world, creating sustainable communities, creating sustainable a sustainable civilization, if we're in the idea of no longer being part of the reptilian patriarchy that has no problem blasting parts of the world into oily, briny craters as they desperately dig for the last remnants of oil on the planet, if we don't want to be part of that, then how can we rationalize the fact that every single day we're putting poison into our own bodies and blasting our lungs into oily, blackened craters or whatever it is that you happen to be doing? You've got to start with yourself first. That's the idea. If we can't fix ourselves, how the fuck are we going to fix anything else in the world? If we can't transform the habitat that our souls live inside of from something that's unhealthy, slow, sluggish, depressed, and lazy into something that's alive and vibrant and youthful and happy, if we can't do that to ourselves, how the fuck are we going to do it to help anything else in the world? We can't. So we have to start with our bodies first. And, you know, I feel like a bit of a fraud because I'm always, you know, talking about the importance of having goals and going towards your goals and the exhilaration of obtaining a healthier life. But lately, I've found myself smoking after shows, drinking a little too much, eating a little too much. And it's embarrassing. I don't want to do that because if all the things that we learn from these guests on this podcast and all the things that we learn from the different books people recommend that we read, and all the things that we've been learning together, if we can't actually turn that into action, then what's the point of it? Then it is just hippy-dippy hoodoo yapping. Nobody wants to hear about what you learned at your goddamn ayahuasca ceremony if you've got fucking love handles. Nobody wants to hear about your great spiritual realizations if you can't even control yourself. Nobody wants to hear about your great revelatory experience if you're obviously killing the closest thing to you by smoking. So there's a hierarchy here. And it seems like the first step for all of us is if we're dissatisfied with our physical health, we've got to fix that. And probably along the way, as we work on that, all the other stuff will begin to shift too. So here's what we're doing. I've hired a trainer, a very well-respected trainer named Tom J. Dieters. He came highly recommended, and I've seen the effects that he's had on different people's lives, and it's amazing. So he has agreed to begin appearing on the podcast and to share his information, not just with me, but with all of you. And I'm going to create a separate section of the website dedicated
to the Iron Lord Meat Shift Challenge,
where we can all talk about this stuff. And for those of you who are already in shape, who listen to this podcast and are in amazing shape and healthy, you can also participate because you can inspire all of us by telling us what you've learned. The idea is we're all going to try to band together, and we're all going to try to spend the next few months making actual physical transformations. Instead of just doing the spiritual thing and meditating and going and give flowers to strangers, all that stuff's awesome, but it's easy compared to actually going for it, compared to actually making the little steps necessary to permanently transform yourself so that you're walking around with a kind of constant high compared to the way that you used to feel. And so it begins the 2012
Iron Lord Meat Shift Challenge.
What, do you got any words of wisdom? What about for all the other kids trying to learn how to ride their bike? Can you say anything to them?
Everybody, I know you can believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you will know how to ride a bike. If you don't, you just keep practicing. You will get the hang of it, I know it. If you keep practicing, you will get the hang of it, and then you can get better and better at it as you do it.
Give me some thumbs up.
Thumbs up, everybody!
All right.
For Rockin' World!
Friends, the holidays are approaching, and many of us will soon be making the primate march of the penguins towards whatever home or territory we are spawned within. We'll be in cars, we'll be on airplanes, we'll be in buses and trains, heading towards dens where we'll listen to the same old nonsense from the people who have the closest genetics to us than any other person on the planet. We'll listen to them yap, we'll smell their farts, and more than anything, we'll be bored. How do we solve this problem of terrible boredom that comes from having to sit around your fundamentalist Christian family as they get drunk and talk about how horrible it is that Romney didn't win? Well, there's an easy solution. It's called earbuds, and it connects to your iPhone or your iPad. And there's another solution. It's called Audible.com. Audible has the perfect fix for having to take those boring, awkward car drives, especially if you're on the verge of divorce and you know that anything that you say prior to the holidays is probably going to create the cascade that leads you spiraling out of control with a shotgun in your mouth or in jail or watching your entire fortune get taken away from you because somebody went through somebody's cell phone and found a couple of pictures of you smooching a tranny. Well, there's a solution to avoid these conversations, and it's at Audible in the form of their beautiful audiobooks. All you have to do is go to audible.com, audibletrial.com/familyhour, and sign up for a trial membership, and you get one free audiobook. Now, an audiobook, you have to understand, these are highly trained actors reading these books, which means that these audiobooks let you, this is like 25 hours, some of them, sometimes 18 hours of people reading these books. That's 18 hours where you can avoid having a fight. That's 18 hours of not having to listen to somebody talk about the stock market. That's 18 hours of not having to listen to the sound of sports, of football, baseball, or whatever your family is listening to. That's a lot of freedom there, friends, and it's all there for you, and it's free. So go to audibletrial.com/family hour. Put that divorce off by another 15 hours. Go to audibletrial.com/family hour, and they have self-help books. Maybe there's a book there that can help repair the lack of trust that your significant other now has for you because they happen to come upon a picture of you being the centerpiece at a swinger banquet. It's all there for you. There's even a book there on cunnilingus. That's what they call it out there. That's what the kids are calling it these days. There's a book called She Comes First, solely devoted to how to pleasure your lover in the most intimate and beautiful way. It's great. It's a great book. I read it. It's kind of confusing. Actually, I have to go back and listen to it again. It's really confusing now that I think about it. But it's a good book, and it's there. And you know what? Want to change that boring car ride into the most awkward car ride of your life? Pop in She Comes First while when your grandmother's listening and see what happens. See what happens. You never know. It could lead to something really great. So go to audibletrial.com/family hour. Download one of these. Sign up for a trial membership if you haven't already. And download one of these awesome audiobooks and entertain yourself on that long. When you're up in that metal plague tube, they call it airplanes, having to breathe the farts of people infected with deadly jungle diseases and crammed in between two morbidly obese people who are on the verge of vomiting. These books can help lull you into sleep. These books, you can listen to these books and you can drown out the sign of the Ebola baby screaming at the top of its lungs because every time it gets jostled by turbulence, one of its internal organs falls out. Audibletrial.com/family hour. Sign up for these and I get $15. They send it to the podcast. So it's a great way to support the podcast. So go do that. Also, are you shopping? Are you engaging in the materialistic orgy that we call Christmas, or the holidays, whatever you're calling it these days? Are you desperately trying to buy a symbol of love that you can give to someone to prove to them that you actually love them because you haven't been strong enough to communicate your love through words and actions, so you're going to buy them a Roomba? Well, if you're going to do that, go to Amazon.com, go through the portal at DuncanTrussell.com, and we get some tiny, they give us like, they give us a tiny little bonus of that. Whatever you do, we get like 10 cents, 20 cents. I don't know what it is exactly, but go through these portals. All the kids are going through portals these days. It's really fun to travel through a portal. Go through the Amazon portal. If you're for all your Christmas shopping, whatever you buy there, if you're buying French horns, whatever the thing is, go through the Amazon portal. It's a great way to support the podcast. Also, you could just donate to the podcast, or you can just sign up for the forum and communicate with all of us, because that is a huge contribution to this thing. And we learn so much from you guys, and I really love it when new people sign up for the forum. So go do that. And finally, as always, the Duncan Trussell Family Hour is sponsored by Sure Design T-Shirts. Sure Design T-Shirts is the reason that Santa Claus shifted from wooden toys to plastic toys, because in Santa Claus's workshop now, it's robots that build everything. It used to be elves until the bandits from Sure Design T-Shirts went all the way to the North Pole. All the way. Do you know how hard it is to get to the North Pole? You have to get permits. Went all the way to the North Pole, tracked down Santa Claus's workshop, dragged out all those cute, adorable little elves who'd been making the most boring toys of all time, and skinned them right there, right in the snow. Now, why did they skin them in the snow? Why didn't they bring them back? A lot of different reasons. Number one, as many of you know have encountered elves, they have these pitiful, mewling screams that are really annoying. They beg for their lives in these really cute...
We're children of the earth. We're the original children of the earth. We're the light of the sun made flesh.
Just basic annoying nonsense. So They dragged out those elves. This happened in the mid-80s. They dragged out those elves, and there were lots of them. The whole Santa Claus workshop is this little place. It's not like that at all. It's like it looks like the Amazon warehouse. They dragged them out, skinned them in the snow. That preserved their skin. The ice preserved the softness of their skin. Then they bundled that skin up into specially cooled briefcases and smuggled that back to Thailand, where they transformed the elf skin into some of the softest t-shirts available on the market today. So go to SureDesignT-shirts.com, put my name in when you buy one of these shirts, and you will get 10% off. We also have t-shirts at the shop section. Go check that stuff out. And to all of you who have donated to the podcast, as always, thank you for keeping this thing happening, popping, rolling along. Thank you all very much for listening in general. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. I'm sorry for the delay in getting episodes out. The tour kind of threw me off kilter, but we've got a lot of great guests coming up, including someone who actually lived in a harem. And Dan Harmon's coming back, along with hopefully some Thelemites. I'm going to their lodge this Sunday to check out a Gnostic Mass, and hopefully they'll feel comfortable enough around me to do the podcast. So we've got a lot of great episodes coming up. I love you guys. And now, please welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, our new trainer, the great Tom J. Dieters. Okay, everyone, this is it. The much anticipated beginning of the December Iron Lord Meat Shift Challenge. I am here with my new trainer and your new trainer and the trainer of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour that is going to shift our meat into something sleek, fast, and beautiful, Tom J. Dieters. Thank you so much for being on my podcast.
I am stoked to be here. My very first time being at your house and meeting you, and I'm just very excited, Duncan. I really am.
I'm super excited too, man. It is so cool that you have not only offered your services to help me finally escape from this disgusting, chubby booze body, but also that you're going to help people on the podcast, on the forum, who are interested in making this big shift. How long have you been a trainer?
I've been a personal trainer for about 17 years now.
Wow. And you're clearly in great shape, man. You're like chiseled, ripped, classic, classic trainer.
Well, I'm in pretty good. I'm not in 6'6 shape, because to me, again, the older I get, the more it is about balancing. Now, if I'm getting paid to have veins in my abs, I probably could.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell a lot of my clients. I go, you know, you got to think about it. You know, if you have a wife or kids and a job and hobbies, you know, you can't work out or put the time in for, you know, the dedication to certain nutritional restraints to have veins in your abs. I mean, that's like people that are
veins in your
models.
Abs. What is that, a thing?
Well, it's just something that I say to people, like when they're like, oh, I got to have this. And I go, well, okay, you know, don't hang out with your kids and quit your job. And then you can devote that amount of time to have this high, high level. That's my point, is I feel I have balance. And that's what I try to promote and teach to people, is we're going to get you to lose weight. We're going to get you to gain flexibility. We're going to bring in some muscle tone. You know, we're going to do those things. But along the way, I really want to, you know, teach people about balance. You know what I mean? Because
they're
like, oh, I need to lose 30 pounds. I need a boyfriend. You know, like there's this missing piece to the puzzle. And that's not it. It's a lot of people that aren't working out don't have that piece of mind because they don't have balance. So it isn't so much about, you know, getting you to be 180 pounds with 4% muscle fat and abs.
Oh, I'm already there. I want veins in my abs. That's the only reason I hired you. Every day I look at my ripped stomach and I think, if only there was a pulsating blue vein running through my abdominal muscles.
Funny. But yeah, that's I guess my point is, when you're saying how in shape I'm, I'm in good shape, you know, and the fact that I don't have any injuries.
You look like you could punch through an elephant and rip its heart out. Like, you look, you're in great
shape. I've done that. I have. I have. No, like I said, I'm in pretty good shape. You know, I've been in martial arts my whole life, and I can still kick to the head, and I'm still flexible. And I know people, you know, that are a lot younger than me that can't do certain things. So that's what I'm saying. My biggest thing that I preach about is that balance, attaining balance in your life.
Balance. Now balance. I know exactly what you mean. My whole life, I was a chubby kid, and every once in a while, I'll figure out a way to lose some weight, and I'll get unchubby, either like relatively thin, just from like I'll stop eating, I'll like just start starving myself and just won't eat, and then maybe I'll lose a little weight, or then sometimes I'll start running. Like there was a, you know, I'm like that old man who thinks back to the glory days, and I think back to the time when I was running 5 miles every other day, and I was like, you know, I'd wring my socks out, and sweat would pour out of my socks, and I felt so good. I was a titan in bed. I was so nice, healthy, blasted jizz, you know, like not now. Now I'm like old and like.
But let me ask a question. Why didn't those things stay consistent?
That's the problem, man. I lose it every time. Every time I lose it, like I'll be loving working out. I'll be addicted to working out. I'll look forward to waking up. I won't be drinking as much at night or at all because I don't want to get a hangover because I don't want to feel weird so I can have a nice workout the next day. But inevitably, Lord Satan creeps into my life and drags me right back to the cocaine. I'm just kidding, not cocaine. I don't do cocaine.
But that's what I'm talking about is if you build a solid foundation, and some people, I know a bunch of people that prior to meeting me or training with me have lost weight and they've all gained it back.
Yes.
And I said, well, we need to build a strong foundation. We need to slowly drag some large stones into your foundation,
right,
and make that foundation so solid that we can build upon it. Because my whole thing with training you is also educating you and teaching you. So if we're together for 6 months or 6 years, when we happen to part ways, you're like, I remember everything he taught me because he taught it to me. He didn't just run me through it and he left going, I have no idea what he did. But then that thing is, while I'm training you, while we're repetitively doing things with consistency and persistency, I'm talking about balance. You know, you're not going to get in shape in a week. You're not going to get out of shape in a week.
Right.
That's the thing. People are like, oh, okay, there, I lost a lot of weight. It's like, okay, now what? Oh, what do I do now? Well, I'm bored and I went back to my, and then they fall off the path again.
That's
like
it.
Like I said, if you can really get people to understand, because I'll ask you right now, you know, you or anyone else, what do you really, really want? And 9 out of 10 times people go, I want to be happy. I said, okay, great. There's happy. Now let's back up. How do we achieve that? It's not by losing 30 pounds. It's not by getting a boyfriend or a girlfriend or, you know, the 2.2 kids or this job or that car. It's really not that. And that's what you have to kind of, you know, have people kind of unlearn and kind of shed away some things. And that's what I love about the training part, because it's, you kind of get broken down. You know, you're going to do things that are uncomfortable. And what we just said when we...
Wait, what?
I said, we're going to do things that are uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable? Wait, what?
Yes. And prior to getting...
No, hold on. I'm sorry. Wait.
We are going to not only get comfortable, Duncan, we're going to become comfortable being uncomfortable.
Ah, that's cool. Comfortable being uncomfortable.
That has got our goal.
So why don't we just go through what you would do? Like, I'm your new client. Let's go through it with the idea also that there's people listening who are tuning in to this because they have decided to sign on to the Iron Lord Meet Shift Challenge.
And let me just, sorry to interrupt, but that's what I dig. When I first walked in, I said, I love more than anything affecting someone. But if that then affects anyone else, so if, you know, you do well and you share your story, that I just completely dig. But the fact that I have a chance to be on your podcast and affect other people simultaneously while I'm affecting you, I'm just completely stoked with that. I mean,
awesome.
That I feel blessed with that opportunity. I truly do.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Man, I feel so lucky I found you, because this is, I know that I've read that, and I believe this, I know it, that things and communities get things done faster than the individual. And that's why I'm really excited about this, because I know the group of people who are going to participate in this are all going to work together. We're going to have a page, on my website just dedicated to this, so that people can kind of communicate and talk about how it's working out for them, and maybe get together, because a lot of people like who live in the same city could get together and go, I don't know what you're going to teach me, but this is going to be on my website so that people can hang out together. And also, you know, and if you want to occasionally log in and say hi to people, you can go there too if you feel like it. But or people can tweet to you. What's your Twitter?
Tom J. Dieters.
Tom J. Dieters at Twitter. So you guys go ahead and follow the Iron Lord himself on Twitter. Prepare yourself because this is about to get crazy. I don't know what's going to happen to us, but I have a feeling at the end of this we are going to be champions with pulsating veins on our abdominal muscles, great bowel movements, healthy sprays of jizz or whatever, or the whatever's commensurate with for the ladies.
Never had quite those goals expressed that way, but that's what I'm saying. I'm wide open. Like I said, when I first you and I first chatted on the phone, I was excited because I liked your vibe and I liked your enthusiasm and excitement for starting this. You seem like someone. I always talk about people if they're moldable clay, and you really seem like moldable clay. You seem like you are at a point where you are really ready to, you know, I say jump, you say how high, not why.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Right there. And the fact that you're like, hey, what about this little podcast thing I got going? And people, I was like, okay. And I just feel open to anything. So, you know, wherever this leads us, I'm pretty much open to, you know, whatever participation, you know, asset I can play along your path. I'm really in, you know, because this is, you know, my passion is truly affecting people. And so I'm pumped, stoked, and ready to do it. Follow wherever you lead.
Hell yeah. Did you hear that, people? This is happening right now. Let's do it. So what's the deal? How do we start?
Since we have listeners and I came over here, what I told Duncan, I think you expressed on your the podcast before was, you know, he's like, well, where should we train? And I said, well, we can just train at your house. And he's like, well, I don't have any equipment. And I tell people, you don't need a lot of room to do that. I tell people, you know, get a few sets of dumbbells, get a mat, get an exercise ball, and we can start. Now, there might be a couple other things we get along the way, and maybe after a while we get bigger dumbbells. But if you're not doing anything, it's really easy to start working out by doing sit-ups and push-ups, walking around the block. I mean, you don't, oh, well, I don't have the money, Duncan, to buy equipment and to get a trainer. It's like, okay, great, you don't have to. And that's what kind of want this to be, that kind of a forum where I can say, okay, you know, you don't have to hire a trainer and go to a sporting store and buy equipment at all. You can just start today by stretching for 15 minutes, going for a walk, coming back, doing a set of push-ups and sit-ups. Have that be your workout one and do three of those a week and eat a little better. That's it. Do that for 6 months.
That's it.
Yeah, because it's again, if you take someone who's not doing anything and you just have them do something, they're going to have results. And
right.
What I tell everybody is, you know, we're all the same. I mean, that's why I love sharing. It allows individuals to realize they're not alone on their path. I have huge flaws. I have a bunch of struggles in my life. Because I'm a trainer doesn't mean, oh, one day I woke up and I was in shape, so I decided to share my great talent with people. I've struggled my whole life with things, you know, family, whatever it is. There's not one thing you can bring up that I haven't gone through, and that's a fact. But what I'm trying to say is if you just start, that's the thing, is just starting. And then whatever you start, this is my favorite line, do that for the rest of your life.
Wow.
That's the challenge. So I don't care if it's kind of two bad little half-hour workouts a week. Great. If that's all you can fit in, great. But do those two workouts a week for the rest of your life.
Wow. But that's so hard. That's the most difficult thing.
That's the point. Because I know everybody's like, oh, I did this for a summer. Oh, I did this and then I got another job. Oh, I was doing so great and then I got engaged. Everybody has that thing they do until life happens. Well, you have to plan on change. I mean, the one thing you can count on in life is change. Change is inevitable. So you have to, again, talking about that foundation, is you have to make it, and this is what I want to do with you, which is going to be stoked, is you're going to start doing things that empower you and make, you know, my little thing, pro-you, make pro-you decisions
right.
That are going to empower you to the point where you're like, okay, that's what I'm doing first. Because typically people are like, okay, well, I'm going to get this done at work, and then I'm going to get this done for my kids and my family. Okay, I'm too tired. I can't do anything for me.
Exactly right.
So it's the wrong priority list. You got to go, okay, if on a scale of 1 to 10, you feel like a 4, what would it be like to be an 8 or 9?
Right.
Now, if you have people you love and that love you, don't you think they deserve an 8 or 9 out of 10?
Right.
So if you're not giving to you, you're not making pro-you decisions, you're not making, you know, the type of choices that you need to be the best you that you can be, what good are you to them?
Right.
You know, you're almost more of a detriment, you know? It's like,
yeah,
I'm always crabby, I'm out of shape, I feel horrible. Hi, honey, what are you doing?
Right.
Wow, there's the unhappy, crabby guy again. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That kind of thing. So if you start doing these things, and on a scale of 1 to 10, you become a 5, and then a 6, and then a 7, and then an 8, and you're like, oh my God, everything I'm doing, all these choices I'm making, are making me the best me that I can be. I can't see you hitting a point going, yeah, I'm going to change.
Right.
You know, the client that I train that you know.
Yes.
I mean, he bases a lot of what he does now on the fact that we started working out, and there's just no way that dude will ever go, yeah, I'm going to quit doing that stuff with Tom. You know, I'm just going to hang that up because now I've got all this stuff. He realized that was a very intricate part of his path, but he realizes now that without it, and when he can't work out for a week or two, he's totally jonesing to work out again. And he's got that, oh, what if, you know, I get hurt again, or what if the back goes out, or whatever happens. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's well aware that if without this, and this being his workout regime and his nutritional plan that he's been doing for X amount of time, without that, he'll have nothing.
Because our souls are trapped in our bodies. We're glued to our bodies. There's no way out. There is a way out, but I don't want to go down that. I don't like it.
One vehicle. We get one instrument.
Yes. And we're stuck in this damn thing. And it's like, this is a terrible thing because I know personally, like if my body was like a hotels in my mind is like the top suite. That's where I hang out all the time. I hang out on the top floor. All the bottom floors, I don't like going through there. I don't like looking at them. I try
analogy.
To, you know what I mean? And because they're moldering, rotting. Their love handles are coming out of everything. They're just, you know, they're drooping and sagging. And this is what happens to us is like a lot of us, and I bet a lot of you listen to the podcast are mental. We're
all in our heads.
We're in our fucking, excuse me for cursing. For some reason, I feel we're cursing around you. We're in our heads. And this is like trying to build a building from the top floor down instead of building it from the bottom floor up.
That's what I'm talking about, the foundation. That's why I was talking about the foundation, exactly.
And this is something I talk about because I'm not depressed right now, thank God, but I struggle with depression. Sometimes I get depressed and it's the worst. And I've always found that if I just exercise, that seems to have an immediate impact on my depression. And if I exercise, my relationships improve. Like what you're saying, I never quite made the connection. It's obvious, but you feel better. So of course your relationships are going to get better. When I'm exercising, everything, it's like, you know, when you blow on a coal or something, you know, like in a fire, it glows brighter. So I get it, man. This is like the initial juju. This is the initial like magical step that you have to take. And then God knows what stuff's going to pop into my head.
Well, two things. And I mean, I like just having this because, again, just want people to know this is the first conversation you and I have really had.
Yes.
First time we've met face to face. But I wanted to mention I'm, you know, pretty much an open book, and that's how I've been my whole life. But I, too, suffer from depression. So I want people to understand that right from the get-go. It's like, okay, he got that. You know, because I want people to understand it's my ability to train someone, my ability to come into your home and train you is having empathy and understanding, not just, oh, well, I've lifted weights, so I'm going to show you how to lift weights. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But it is that thing that, you know, the law of velocity. Okay, an object in motion is easy to keep in motion. So if I get down, if I get into a funk and end up on a couch, it kind of takes a crane to get me off that couch.
Right.
So if I, okay, just get up and move, and it's not, well, how do I feel? Should I? It's, no, just go do it. And then as soon as I'm there, I tell everybody, go drive to the gym. You just get to the gym.
Right.
You're never going to get to the gym and go, okay, well, I'm here. I should leave now. Okay, I'll just go up for 5 minutes. And then you start moving, and those 5 minutes turn into 20 or turn into 30,
right.
And then pretty soon you leave, and I'm like, oh, you know what I'm in it? And it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, did you notice your different now attitude, the whole perspective has changed. So you know, there's so many things that I say all the time, but one of them is, you know, can we mentally manually turn our perspective? You know, because if you get each, you know, if we just sat here right now, we were both just bummed out, we could just both go just like this, hey, glad we're not in New York. You know what I mean? People still without water. People still without cell phone service.
No matter
people
what. Without,
no matter what.
Even before Sandy, we could say we're not in New York and be happy. Hey, sorry for you guys in New York. I think it's a great.
But that's my point. You know, but it, again, that's the thing is it takes work.
Yeah.
When you're depressed to get out of bed. Yes. It's not just, oh, I got to have a great workout today. No, it might be tough just to get out of bed, but you have to remember that you're worth it. You have to deem yourself worthy
yes.
of that effort that's needed too. Like I said, if it's just because of your lifestyle, because of your schedule, because of whatever, you can only do 2 workouts a week. And that's kind of what I start out with people when I train. I'm like, okay, there's a box. And you just need to check that box and give me 2 and give me 2 every week for the rest of your life. And I'm not going to say, well, what did that box entail? If I'm just helping a friend.
Yeah.
Okay, get up, walk around the block, come home and stretch. And you don't have to really tell me about the details of
it. That's it.
But just check that box.
That's it.
I'll call you up on Friday and go, hey, what did you do? And you go, Tom, I checked 2 boxes. Great, success. Then you feel good.
Right.
Hey, we're in the end zone, jumping up and down, touchdown. Yay, right. Victory. Next week. I call you up. What'd you do? I checked 2 boxes. Yay. Well, then you start feeling good. But it's like, well, how many calories did you burn? How much weight did you lose? Are you stronger? Oh, still only 2 boxes? Oh, you didn't do a 3rd workout? Well, I think you should do more, don't you? You know, you just get, just start. Just start.
That's
just
it.
Start.
Right.
So we can end up talking forever, but to get back to the.
No, that's just good. This kind of talk is good, man. Because like a lot of, I know that there's some people who have, when I talked about this thing, I've gotten some emails. Some people have disabilities who are listening and they want to get in shape. Some people have PTSD or like they're a lot of people are depressed. There's a whole wide variety of people.
Again, that's with everybody, you know, and it's like, you know, if you have the most amazing gym, but it's an hour and a half from your house, if you found the most, you know, the best trainer in the world, but he's too expensive.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find out what's manageable and what you can do. That's why I said, hey, can you do 2 half an hours a week? Or someone with a disability, you know, what can you do? Can you
right.
get someone to help you? You know, find out what it is that you can do.
Yes.
And then try to be consistent because the key to any success is consistency. It's repetition. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be, you know, perfect execution, you know, because none of us are perfect. If it's like, okay, get up today and be perfect, we're all going to fail. And typically with expectation comes frustration. So
right.
if we're trying to do everything wonderful today because, you know, I listened to the podcast and, you know, Duncan said I should start and his trainer said start. So I had this big, you know, written down on paper what I should do. And I fell short. Now I'm bummed out. Now I'm depressed again.
Right.
It's just, no, just do something little. Just do something little. And then, you know, maybe one more time this week, do something little again. But again, find out what that is. Maybe it's just stretching. Maybe it's just walking. Because it's not what we can get to the ass whooping. You know?
Yes.
Our workout today, and, you know, this would go out to the people starting that if they have a exercise ball and some dumbbells, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's going to be kind of a 2. Because I'm getting to know Duncan. But during that workout, I'm going to get to know your body. So I'm going to kind of see where your limitations are, what's going on. But the biggest thing is I want you to get done because there's probably a part of you like, oh, my God, what's he going to do?
Right.
You know, because I'm not that guy that walks in and beats someone up and go, there, see what a good trainer I am.
Right.
A lot of people can do that. I can make you, okay, do 1,000 push-ups. And at some point, you know, you'd be like, oh, my God, he kicked my ass. Well, I don't think that takes a lot of talent to just beat someone up. But if I give you a workout, give you an understanding of where we're headed and – when we get done or tomorrow you wake up and go, I'd do that again. That
right.
didn't suck. I kind of liked him. You know, user friendly.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just starting out kind of an introduction to what we're going to do. Some of the moves, that's me introducing the moves to you mentally, but it's also introducing to your body physically some of the things that we're going to do. And we kind of talk and we get done and you have kind of an understanding of it. And it's like, oh yeah, I would do that again because the ass whooping, you know, that will happen when you are ready. And I'll look at you and go, you know, I kicked your ass today. And you'd be like, and I just want you to say, yeah, but I took it.
Right.
See, that's the cool thing is you'll realize going, wow, I can't believe. And of course you're tired, but you didn't throw up. You didn't fall over. You didn't pass out. You'll
right.
get to a point. So that's what I'm saying with everybody out there listening. You can get to the point where you're doing the big kick-ass workout. You can get there, but it's being patient because how old are you? Can I ask that?
38.
38. Okay, so for 38 years, you've done A, and your body has been very patient with you. So if you start doing something different,
yes.
you can't go, hey, body, we've been doing this for a month now. What's up?
Yeah.
Whoa, 38 years. You've
yeah.
been doing A.
Yeah.
Now you've been doing B for a month, and you're expecting, again, you're going to have to be patient with your body now. So if we move slowly, and again, that's why I talk about that solid foundation. If we just start kicking your ass, and there's lots of shows on TVs and lots of people that are like, let's get you in here. Let's beat you up today.
P90X. I saw one of these commercials, like, because like there's someone now competing with P90X or whatever that is. there's a competitor to them, and they show during the commercial someone roll over and vomit onto the mat. Like, that's a good thing? Like, you're going to vomit so bad you'll puke.
I've been working out for 34 years, and I've never once thrown up from a workout.
Right.
Now, it's you worked out too hard, you ate too soon before your workout, you ate something wrong before you know what I mean? There's just a reason typically, but you don't have to. That's the point again, is it's really tough. Like, if I was selling a show, a fitness show, do you know what I mean? There's people out there that want to do that, you know, the hardcore boot camp. And I do that, you know, in my class and with certain people, but because I've got to that level.
Got it.
And we kind of walk that path together. And we might in a year or 6 months or a year and a half be at a point where, you know, we're boxing or we're doing something that you didn't think you were going to do. And it's like, oh my God. And I'm like, and I always say this to people, like, okay, what if we did shot the video today and I sent that to you before I met you? And I'm like, this is you in a year and a half.
Wow.
No way I'm doing that. But like I said, it will get there. It will get there. But the thing about P90X and that is there's just people out there that are you know, bored or don't like to do the typical mundane, go for a walk, go for a run, workout, do abs, whatever it is. And I've been doing kind of the same stuff my whole life outside of using an exercise ball. I think it's one of the greatest creations the fitness world has ever seen, because you don't need a bench and a chair and certain pieces of equipment. You can just have an exercise ball and you can do it all, because it's very supportive for your lower back. It will help work your core. So again,
$20.
Yeah. And I'm one of those people that has always done the same thing. Now, again, there's a bunch of people going, oh, here's the new thing. Oh, here's the new thing. Oh, here's the new thing. And it's just that hype. But if you're doing anything consistently, it will work, you know. But again, as far as killing people and making them throw up and selling that, there is an audience for that. But I think, I'm assuming you and probably a bunch of your listeners, they don't want someone to come into their home today and make them throw up and go, this is what I'm looking forward to. I'm going to feel like this when we do this. I mean, I want you to get done and go, oh, he's leaving already? Really? Well,
yeah.
When are you coming back,
no,
Tom?
No, man, I want to you know? I want to permanently shift into a healthy life. Permanently.
There. See, that's what I'm talking about. You take that big boat people talk about, the cruise ship of life, and you just slowly kind of re-navigate its direction. We don't just 180 today, cut out everything and change everything and make you completely uncomfortable today. We will get to a point where you're comfortable.
This idea that you're talking about, and I love that you used a boat, because we talk about this on here sometimes, and like, I have this idea, you know, that multiverse theory. Have you ever heard of this idea?
Multiverse
theory, that the universe is so extravagantly opulent that every single possibility is happening at once, and they're all happening sort of laying on top of each other like onion skin. And a goal is literally connecting to a node in this infinite field of possibility that's already existing. So that video idea that you're talking about a year from now, where I'm doing backflips, that is already in existence. It's happening right now. And so a goal is actually sending a kind of psychic tendril through the multiverse, like a grappling hook, to attach to that there place where you want to be. And then the ship, you're sort of pulling yourself through the different levels of yourself until you finally get to that place, which is why I think this practice of getting in shape is, I consider it a magical act and a metaphysical act. And obviously, a physical act, but I think that it's what you're an interesting correlation to spirituality and religious systems is that people will want quick results with meditation they want to have this, it's like they want to smoke crack, they want this high that's like,
what's that fast food mentality? I want it quick, I want it now. And that's like why the gimmicks, I mean, half the stuff on TV sells, because people are like, oh, that's all I have to do, I just have to buy that, and then that's the magic pill, the magic device. And it's like, no, you have to do stuff, you know, throughout your life, for the rest of your life, on a consistent basis. And that's what's hard, because again, your life changes, whether it's your home or your relationship or your family dynamics, whatever it is, or you change or your job changes, and it's hard to keep doing that. I'm a second degree black belt, and I used to say all the time, it's not that difficult to get a black belt. But if it takes you 3 or 4 years, can you be in that town with the ability to go to that school without anything in your life changing then you can keep going to the class and you can achieve it. But, oh, I moved. Because I know a bunch of people that got to brown belt or green belt and then something happened. They, you know, whatever happened, it's like, oh, yeah, well, I got, and then life happened.
Yes.
And I've met a bunch of people while training them that it's like, I used to do and I was doing. And then it's always this thing in life that happens that took us off that path.
So this is the technique that you're teaching is a technique that understands that we exist in a universe that is constantly shifting, changing, is chaotic. And this is a thing that we can do regardless of these external shifts in the field of phenomena around us. I love it, man. Because I go on the road a bunch. And whenever I go on the road, that is when I fall apart. It's like if I've been exercising, I stop exercising. I eat shit food. Can we talk about nutrition first, or do you want to do the exercise part first?
Well, I don't know how much detail you want to get into. I can just briefly describe the workout, and then we can get into a little bit of nutrition.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, like I said, so if you're out there and you got the exercise ball and you got the dumbbells, what I would basically say is that as if I walked in and I said, "Hi, Dunkel, this is our first time meeting. What a typical workout should be, or what I'm going to do is we'll do something that makes you warm up. So if people have a treadmill, walk on the treadmill, or we can go for a walk or a jog outside,
okay,
or we can jump rope, or there's certain yoga moves that we can do just to get your heart rate up.
Yep.
When your heart rate up, your blood is flowing. When your blood is flowing, your muscles are a little bit warmer. Then we can stretch.
Okay.
So then you stretch. Okay. And stretching is big for me. I've never hurt a client.
I never stretch.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be new now for you because that's what you'll start doing. Now your body's warmed up and stretched and it's ready to work out. And then you can do, and you know, this is kind of hard to do on a podcast, but you know, do some curls, do some tricep kickbacks, you know, do some push-ups, do some abs, do some lunges, you know, abs on the ball. You know, there's just different things that you can do and call that your workout, whether it's 10 minutes or it's a half an hour. And then at the end, there will also be another stretching period where I actually will personally stretch you out. And that's typically how the workout goes.
So it's stretch.
First a warm-up.
Warm-up, stretch.
Warm-up, stretch, weights, stretch.
Stretch. So you guys, I'm probably going to have to check out here. Are we going to go through it now, today, or do
Yeah, we're going to do a workout. We're going to do a little mini, just like I said, it's kind of an introduction.
Okay, I want to record it, kind of. Do you think we could record it? Is that possible, or is that going to get too weird?
I think it'll be too crazy,
okay,
because it'll be a lot of me talking to you and demonstrating, and I don't know how we would.
So here's what we'll do. Here's the deal, you guys. So here's the deal. By the time this goes up, I'm going to go through a series of exercises, which, if it's okay with you, I'm going to detail
totally,
on the board.
Totally,
so
totally.
I'm gonna go,
I think, as now as we have a kind of a good, we've introduced ourselves to each other and the audience kind of knows a little bit about me and you.
Yeah.
So we'll do the first one. And then after that, you can
check
share
back
whatever
in.
You went through. And then the next time I come back or whenever you want, we'll do kind of a follow-up. And if there are questions, email questions or on your website, they post some questions. We can do that where.
Hear that, guys?
I sit down and
coolest guy
questions.
On the planet is willing to answer your questions. Can we, after this, go record again about nutrition, like a discussion about what to
eat. Well, let's talk about nutrition for a second,
okay,
real quick.
Okay.
Again, there's just a bunch of
I drink beer
diet plans. Well, number one, I tell people it's fine to drink, you know, one or two nights a week. I think that's fine because again, you're not going to be paid for your fitness level. Okay, so you don't want to totally change your life. But if someone's like, well, I kind of like to drink four or five nights a week, then you shouldn't, number one, have a trainer. Now, you can still work out on your own and drink four or five nights a week.
But that's a drunk.
But if you're hiring a trainer, it's because obviously you have a goal in mind.
Yeah.
And you want someone to help you take you to that next level.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would you, you know, have...
I got you, man. So guys...
A ball and chain trying to climb to the next level.
No booze once or twice, once a week or twice a week,
so here's
friends.
Here's a great alcohol rule, though. If you are out, let's say, what I want you to do is I want you to pick a night where you go, okay, it's Friday night or it's Saturday night or I got something coming up. So it's like one night a week that you're going to drink and you're going to partake in it. And you can also pick one cheat day.
Okay.
And I say be really consistent and dedicated and disciplined with that. And you start, like I said, when you start making these rules for yourself and your choices, that's part of that empowerment thing. And when you start sticking to it, you start going, wow, I made a rule and I stuck to it.
Right.
Therefore, I'm in charge of me.
Yes.
I have control because we all kind of want control of our lives.
Yes.
So that's great. Now, the alcohol deal I make with people is try to, when you're out, if you have a beer, have a glass of water. You have a drink, have a glass of water. Try to go one for one. Now, the great thing is you go to the bathroom more.
Yes.
You know, it kind of goes through your system a lot easier.
Yes.
You're not as hungover. But you can still kind of, if it's like at a party. Well, I don't want to go to a party since I have a trainer and I'm working out and not drink. Okay, well, drink. But just, you know, have one for one. Have a glass of alcohol and then have a glass of water. So you're still feeling, you know, social. And you've, you know, cause some people don't know what to do with their hands if they're not drinking. You know, they feel that.
Yeah.
Well, I just feel like everybody's staring at me. No one's staring at you. If you're like, hey, I'm not drinking tonight, people are probably going to be really cool about the fact that, really? Yeah, I actually had a chance. No way, you got a chance. Oh, I've always wanted to do that.
They'll
be all fired up on you. So that's my little alcohol rule. You know,
got
try
it.
To drink once, no more than twice a week, because, again, then why do what you're doing?
It blows the progress.
Yeah, exactly. You know, keep your eyes on the prize. Try to be focused. Try to move forward and keep that intention. You
got
know
it.
What I mean? The other thing outside of alcohol, if we just jump into the nutrition part, is one of the best
I'm
things.
Sorry, may I ask one more question?
No, go ahead, please.
What about marijuana?
Marijuana. It's hard because it's not a real motivator. And it typically makes you eat way more than you want to.
Indicas do, not sativas. Not sativas. You know the difference between indicas and sativas? I've noticed sativas like charge me up, and I don't usually get the whole munch.
Well, it affects everybody differently. I'm not, I don't want to throw a blanket out there. I'm just saying that on the whole, you know, it's a tough thing.
It's individual with weed. Because the difference between booze and weed is that with marijuana, you're not going to get fat from smoking dope or eating it, but you are going to get fat if it's weakening your willpower. Then you got it. You shouldn't do it.
Here's kind of the thing, and we can talk more about this off air because I don't know what to, you know.
Trust me, a lot of people who listen to this their ears are perking up right now. Just be honest, man. What's your take on it?
I'll tell you, you know this, and you know I'm not a licensed therapist, but I've been doing what I've been doing for a very long time, and talking to people one on one is typically when you're self-medicating or numbing, it's because you're not completely comfortable
right.
with you.
Right.
Now, if it's like you said, once a week you have a couple drinks, you know, once a week, you know, you smoke a little weed, that's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, for me personally, I've smoked weed, okay? And I quit this past year because I realized that it went from that social thing to now I'm kind of doing it more. It's my go-to thing.
We just had Graham Hancock on the podcast, who wrote this amazing book, Fingerprint of the Gods. I'd seen him on Rogan's podcast, and he was telling me how he smokes, I can't remember, like an ounce of weed, some insane Cheech and Chong quantity of weed a day when he's writing a book, where I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Because if he smokes that much weed a day and writes these incredible books, then I will certainly be able to smoke this much weed a day and be productive. And then he came back on the podcast and he'd gone to South America and had taken ayahuasca and had this realization that he had become addicted to marijuana and that was fucking up his life, and he'd stopped. So,
wow.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, man. You, I think it's all about honesty. You know, just I have to say, just like what Aleister Crowley, the great occultist, says, is that addiction. He called addiction the magician's disease, because if you're using a psychedelic, if you're using an experience, if you're using anything, you should be using it to enhance your life and get you closer towards your goals. And the moment you start using it for something other than that, well, then you're stopping your momentum, right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
You just have to be completely fucking honest with yourself, Duncan. I'm talking to myself right now.
Well, that's what, when I came in, I said, I'm a pretty open book and I share. It's just different to sit down and meet you for the first time. I'm willing to share things with you, but I'm like, wow, well, don't hold back. And I have, you know, and again, but I've, so all I can share is the one thing I
can
share.
So you used to smoke all the time.
I can share my personal experience. I was pretty healthy. I didn't start smoking weed till I was 28. So I was, you know, not like I got into it and whatever, but it just became, well, if I drink, I kind of feel hungover. And I wasn't a big drinker. It was just like, typically would just drink beer. But for me, it was like, oh, this is just a better substitute. But then as I, you know, got older and married and into whatever, it just become, then it was like, oh, this is a great stress reliever. But okay, so this gets into a whole other thing, but I hit the point where I went, I want to be strong enough myself to go through life without numbing or self-medicating, because I had realized that it had become addicted. And I said, well, I'm not addicted because I can quit when I want to. And I would quit for all, but I was like, yeah, but there's always that thing I kind of go back to. I want to really push through where I'm at that point. And now I do. I mean, I can talk about this, is I feel stronger right now, mentally, emotionally, than I ever have before, because I know I've passed that point of kind of needing it. So if we talk about you and you're saying, well, hey, I smoke some weed. And I'm like, well, if I'm really talking to you, Duncan, and you want to get better, I'm like, well, if you want to keep doing the things you're doing, you're going to keep getting the things you're getting.
Right.
If you want to do the same things and expect different results, definition of insanity.
Hey, let's start with the booze first. I don't know about my sweet marijuana, but let's...
But I'm just saying that if we start looking at changing, yes, just be open to change. Again, I'm not going to tell you, number one, I'll tell you, hey, if you want to drink 3-4 nights a week, I just probably wouldn't waste your money on me. But you want to drink 1 or 2 nights a week, you can. I'm not ever going to...
I
don't tell my clients what to do. Is I start helping them as much as I can. I try to share my personal experience, my struggles with everything that I've gone through in my life. And like I said before, you could bring up anything. You've already brought up depression. Then you brought up marijuana. I'm like, good, 2 for 2.
Yeah.
You can't bring up anything that I haven't gone through.
Right.
And I think that's kind of a little bit of my power when training somebody. But I'm not going to tell you to do or not to do anything. But along that path, you will start feeling empowered and you'll start making better pro you choices.
Yeah.
And it might be, hey, I'm just going to smoke weed once a week,
right,
because I dig it and it helps me do this or helps me do that.
Got it, dude.
But I just, like I said, I got to the place where, yeah, it made me feel better. This, it helped doing this, did it. But also it's like, well, what I am without it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to find out. I truly wanted to find out what it would be like me, solely me, without that.
Cool.
And I did it. And I would wish that for anybody.
That's cool. I like it. I like it a lot. One last question as far as drugs go.
Yes.
Crystal meth. No, just kidding.
Great before a workout, not so good during, maybe not so much after. No.
Okay.
So that's the whole, you know, like I said,
intoxicants.
Because, you know, I know some people that have addictions, and it's a real struggle. I mean, it's a whole nother podcast and a whole nother story, but I know it's a tough thing, but I have got through everything I've gotten through in my life, and the more we get to know each other, the more you'll learn what I've gotten through, because I had a fitness foundation.
Got it.
I had a health and wellness foundation, and I know that's helped me. So as you get healthier, all I'm saying is be open to the possibility of Duncan, I can't do anything now because, you know, I want to be healthy, but that, well, what would it be like just to be completely cool on my own without anything altering, you know, my senses or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Just be open to that, because I that's what I can share with you, is that's my experience now, is it's like, I kind of like that. You know, where, I mean, challenge anybody.
Hey, man, I don't want to be, I don't want any goddamn hooks stuck in my love handles. I want to be free, galloping through the fields of freedom with my veiny fucking abdominal muscles.
We're never going to forget that veiny ab thing. But so that's my point on that, is just be open that the bigger, better, stronger you might make just better choices.
Well, look, I mean? I'm open to that. I'm a notorious drug advocate. I think drugs are a tool that you can use to obtain certain states of consciousness that are very valuable. But I think that, like any other tool, they can fuck you up if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's such a fine line.
And it's all about being, and it's about being completely honest with yourself.
Yeah.
About Amen. Where you fall on that side of the line, and you know right away what side of the line you fall on.
Yep.
So yeah, man, I totally hear where you're coming from, and I'm down.
Cool. So nutrition, it's such a big topic. I can hit on a couple little things, but again, if there's someone out there that just sits there and is like, I'm not working out and I eat poorly, there's three basic areas. There's nutrition, there's cardio, and there's weight resistance.
Okay.
If you just did one of those consistently for a period of time, you would have success.
Okay.
The most success is if you're going to kind of put a little attention or focus on all three. So if you, and we all know what's bad. Do you know what I mean? If someone's out there going, oh, I eat just fast food. Well, You know yeah. that fast food isn't good. You know what I mean? Typically anything out of a bag isn't that good.
Okay.
The closer something comes out of the ground into your mouth, typically the better it is.
Okay.
And I think there's just so much information out there that most of us know. If I just said, hey, what do you think is good to eat, Duncan? I'm sure you could just list some things that are good to eat.
Right.
But it's hard to dedicate and discipline ourselves, do that. Oh, and you want me to do cardio now? What does that entail? Oh, and I got to do weight resistance. So it can be kind of overwhelming. So I always think of those small little baby steps. So if it was you and I talking just one-on-one right yes. now, whether people were listening or not, and I said, okay, Duncan, we're going to work out twice a week.
Okay.
Those are going to be 2 hours. Now, I want you to, outside of that, I want you to do 2 hours where you do cardio. Now, cardio is basically raising your heart level
yep.
up to a place where you start feeling yourself sweat, and then you maintain that. So people are like, oh, I did cardio for 15 minutes. It's like, well, you may have done something for 15 minutes to get your blood, you know, heart rate up, but cardio is when you elevate your heart rate and then maintain it for, you know, a certain amount of specified amount of time, and then start eating a little better. And you can share, well, this is what I do. Okay, well, I'll share a couple things. Try to not eat 2 to 3 hours before you go to bed.
Got it.
Try to eat smaller meals throughout the day.
How many?
I would say, well, 3 meals and 2 snacks.
Okay.
And again, we can get into all the specifics of that, but it's like, you know, try to lower your starchy carbohydrate intake and try to do it before 4 p.m.
And so after 4, no carbs?
No, not no carbs, just the starchy carbs, just bread, pasta,
chips.
Potatoes, stuff like that. Well, yeah. Chips, we're not eating chips anymore.
Chips are gone.
Chips are gone. You can have them on your cheat day.
What about blue corn chips?
Well, again, there's healthier choices. There
but are still no chips. Choices. Chips out of a bag.
Okay, because here's my thing. You put chips in you, what do they do good for you? How does it benefit you by eating chips besides the taste? It
stops the empty feeling.
But there are a bunch of other good things. So we have to start, again, mentally, manually changing your perspective.
Yes.
I'm not that hungry and I ate some good food. I'm not that hungry and I ate some more good food. I'm not that hungry and I started, you know what? I started to feel better, and then I had more energy, and then I had a higher output during the day, and then I started sleeping better. Oh my God, I love Tom. Look what he's helped me realize.
Right.
So, but it's a training. You're not going to change
chips
your-
Chips are gone.
Your taste buds
today. I would gladly throw chips on the fire of health. Screw chips, gone.
And again, the cool thing too is I said this to a girl, and I always remember this story. I said her favorite thing was French fries, and I said, grab them on your cheat day. So she goes, 6 days without eating the French fries. She goes, yay, I get that French fries. She goes, guess what? She calls me on her cheat day. I was like, what? She goes, I had French fries. I said, well, good. She goes, no, they made me sick.
Wow.
I went, yay.
Changed.
Fixed.
Okay, so
21 days to break a habit.
21 days.
7 days to instill a habit.
Whoa, that sucks. Whoever built it, only it was in reverse. God, Jesus, if only it was.
So again, we start. Now again, I'm not going to say, okay, you're done drinking, you're done smoking weed, there's no more chips, you're going to do cardio, and you're going to work out today, and you're going to meditate today. There's no way I would do that. It's too overwhelming. So we just start slowly. And that's why the information, when we get off of recording here, the information I'm going to give you, I'm just going to give you. And you're going to read over it. And then
okay.
you're going to come up with some questions, because we're going to come up with a plan for you. Because, you know, there's this diet and there's that diet and the 4-hour body and there's this theory and there's the no carbs and there, you know,
I tried the 4-hour
many
body.
Different things.
I got my fat. I went in one of those fat tanks where they measured my fat.
Yeah.
I tried the 4-hour body. I came so close to going
to
the Grove and pulling a Columbine and just blowing people away. I couldn't do it, man.
But that's what I'm saying. That's an extreme thing. And that's also, you know, Tim Ferriss says is that's for someone that's not doing the cardio, not doing the workout, and has
right.
no, like, I want to lose weight right now, and that's it. Okay, here's the diet for you. That will make you lose weight without really doing anything else, because it's so extreme. But again, it's super difficult. So the fellow comedian that I train, you know, the same thing with him. You know, I've been with him over 7 years now, and it wasn't all at once. You know, we started doing this, and then he liked it, and then he saw the improvements, and then he started this, and then all my clients start asking me.
The comedian,
hey,
can I just say something real quick? The comedian he keeps talking about, I'm not going to say the name, but this is how we got hooked up, and this comedian, I saw him go from, like, chubby, fat-ish to, like not only, like, ripped, like super in shape, but like incredibly motivated.
He's an animal in the gym. People would not believe his workouts if they saw his workouts. And again, we didn't start there, and that's my point. But what's so cool is as I train everybody 3 months, 6 months, a year later, they're like, oh, hey, you know, I started to run. I'm like, oh, wow. Hey, I'm going to do a 5K. Oh, wow. And then I've had two clients go, hey, you know, I'm going to start doing that 4-hour body diet. I was like, yay. I don't tell them to do anything, but once they start going and they feel that kind of, you know, that momentum.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If on a scale, let me just ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, knowing who you want to be, your potential, your belief in you, on a scale of 1 to 10, what number would you give yourself today?
I mean, not to be an asshole, no. I'm really happy.
I'm talking all around, physically, mentally, everything.
It's different scales. Can I just say my physical scale?
No, like, just overall. Give yourself a number.
6.5.
Okay, great. Fantastic. That's fine with me because I don't care what the number is. But as you become a 7.
But sometimes I feel like an 8.
Okay, that's good.
But that's not really. He looks at me like, you are not an 8. You do have a scale, man.
When's the first time you called me to work out?
It was a while ago.
And what have you done since then?
I've done like random workouts, man.
And then you called me again?
Yes.
So how often are you an 8?
Like when I'm...
Point taken. Tom, 1. Duncan, 0. But my point being is, if you are a 6.5, yay. I feel happy.
I feel physically completely...
My point is, let's say you honestly go, I'm an 8.5 and I'm an 8.5 consistently. Believe me, you will be making different choices. You will be looking at the world through different eyes. Some things that you dig now, you might not dig. Things that you thought you'd never do, you might be doing. And that's personal experience by training people for years. And that's the thing I love saying to everybody. And I will say it to you. I'm like, could you imagine, like our fellow comic, I said his birthday was coming up, and I said, okay, what if we filmed you right now? And I sent this video to you 10 years ago, and I said, that's what it's going to be like at that age. That, and you'd be like, that's me?
Right.
At that age? That's my workout? You know, because everybody dreads getting older.
Yes.
And, you know, the people I train, they're getting stronger and better and, you know, healthier, and their wellness is at a higher level as they get older. And it's kind of a cool thing because, again, at 38, your shape, you're not thinking, oh, when I'm 40, I'm going to kick ass. Watch, when I'm 40, I'm going to kick. But you will. That's the great thing. Like, and like I said, people like they have numbers, whether it's 30 or 40. So I'm not just speaking about you. Oh, God, I'm 40. And I'm like, okay, so at 40, you're in the best shape of your life.
Yeah, that's cool.
Doing better than ever
that's
before.
Badass.
Yeah, it's like such a cool thing going, I'm 40 and I'm freaking happy about
that's
being
badass.
40. Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about.
Love it.
It's just be open to that new you, new and improved you that we're going to start. So anything else on nutrition? Those are the kind of the basics. Drink a lot of water. I don't know if I said that, but
nope.
The best thing that you can do for yourself is to drink water.
How much?
You know, typically,
like that bottle I gave you there, how many of those a day?
How many ounces is that?
I'm not sure. Let me see. Is it there? Serving size, we're dealing with 8 ounces.
Well, yeah, you should have, you know, 8 glasses of that, eight ounce glasses. You know, I shoot for 120 ounces of water a day.
120 ounces. 10 of these? 20 of 12. 12.
Oh, none of those. Those aren't 8 ounces. That's a serving, they say, is 8 ounces.
Oh, it's a serving size. Oh. I see some big water bottle. I was about to freak
see that?
Out.
Did you hear that? That's what all the
Jesus
new people.
Christ.
What? What did he say? Do what? I said, I shoot for between 100 and 120 ounces
got it.
A day.
Got it.
Now, you can say, Tom, are you perfect at that? I was like, no. There's days I don't, but that's what I kind of have in the back of my mind is I want to shoot
for like 3 of these.
There's certain things you can't, you might take this wrong, but you can't sleep too much, rest too much, recover too much. You can't drink too much water. You can't stretch enough.
Right.
You can't do things for your body too much that are good for your body. So you can't like, oh yeah, I drank too much water. That's my point is it just, it's a great thing for your body. It just is like the number one thing. So to kind of keep it as a general level, don't eat 2-3 hours before you go to bed. Awesome. Most important meal of the day, breakfast. Drink a lot of water. Drink small meals throughout the day. Have a meal, have a snack. Have a meal, have a snack. Have a meal. Shoot for that. And if we get into more specifics, do it in time. But just for people out there, they could write that down. Okay, number one, don't eat 2 or 3 hours before I go to bed. Shoot for that. Some days you might be successful. Some days you might not. Don't beat yourself up.
Got it.
Because you want to do that for the rest of your life.
Got it.
Number two, drink a lot of water. Write that down. You know what? I'm going to try to drink more water tomorrow. Great. Fantastic. Okay. eat smaller meals and to spread them out throughout the day. I mean, just those three things, if they just started,
awesome.
Then, let's say in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whenever, it's like, oh, well, what's Duncan doing? Well, now I started talking to Duncan about this and we're starting to do that. And as a trainer, I'm just not one of those people. And I have done it in the past, certain things where you'd bring a client, you'd weigh them and you'd check their body fat and you'd measure them and you'd do all that and you'd have them count calories and all these things that, you know, like it's like math homework. And it's like, well, most people to me are too busy to work out.
Yes.
Let alone, okay, now I got to calculate my caloric.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. So I tell people, I don't want you to weigh yourself. I don't want you to check your body fat because when you feel better, guess what? You'll feel better.
Right.
And you'll know it. Not one of my clients weigh themselves. I don't know what they weighed when they started. I don't care what you weigh. I just know in a little while you're going to weigh less. But with body composition, muscle weighs more than fat. So, you know, you might go, oh, I thought this was the number, but now it's that number. Yeah, who cares?
Right.
And the drag, that's this brilliant. Is what happens to people, is they empower a piece of metal or plastic to feel bad. So typically, let's just say, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're feeling whatever, bad, and you're like, well, let me get on the scale. Why? You already know you feel bad. You're not working out. You're going to get on the scale, and the scale goes, this is how much you weigh, this number. Now you should feel, you have tangible evidence to feel bad the rest of the day. It's like, why do that to yourself?
That's brilliant.
And when your clothes fit differently, and people at work go, hey, what's different? Did you get a haircut? What? They can't quite tell what it is, or your spouse is like, you know, all of a sudden they're like, they realize, you know, you've been in a better... See, that's what I'm talking about. That's that foundation, those big stones, bringing them in. If we do this, I have this in one of the things I'm going to give you, but if you let me allow you, if you allow me to affect you mentally, we'll both be able to affect you physically.
Got it.
And then that's that whole kind of encapsulating thing where it's like, you know, Duncan's just going to feel better about Duncan. And then Duncan's going to feel, you know, better about helping people. And then you're going to inspire. And then some, you know, listeners will, you know, whatever, contact you or go to your website and say, I'm, and all of a sudden there's this big positive wave of momentum. And that's what's hard to shut down. That's what's hard to stop. And then 6 months from now, you get on a podcast. Yeah, it was great, but I quit. Not doing it anymore. I'm not working out. I fired Tom. And I just want you all to know that my podcast from now on is going to be
about this. French fries.
Yeah, there's just it's impossible, and I've never had that experience.
Cool, I believe it, man. I'm hypnotized.
Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
I am drinking the Kool-Aid, Father.
Jumping in.
This is awesome, you guys. Okay, so that we are going to get into my first workout here. So I'm going to split everybody. But where can people find you?
TomJDieters.com, and the last name is spelled D as in David. E-T-E-R-S. TomJDieters.com is my website. But, you know, I just think they should just hit you up on your website if they have questions.
Yes.
And then when I come over next, you can go, hey, here's some questions. And I think that would be a cool way to do it.
Okay, got it. So, guys, go to DuncanTrussell.com. There's going to be a section added to the website called the Iron Lord Meat Shift Challenge. This is where you can put your questions for next week, the next time we meet. And any other, this is also where you guys can sort of talk about how you're feeling about this and what you're doing. So go right now, walk around the block, do some little thing, begin the challenge. I'm starting now. I've got an exercise ball, weights, and I'm super motivated. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Let me just say two quick things. One, and that would be to the listeners, is just do something. I mean, you would not believe the empowering feeling of making a pro-you decision and going to do it and then just coming back in the house or whatever it is, just something small, because, you know, we do things all day long for other people. And when you do something for you, I mean, when you're the sole benefactor of that effort, it's just truly rewarding. And that's something that you want to become very habitual and that you want to be repetitive with, but do that. Number two, I just want to thank you. If we were not on air, I would be thanking you as, you know, letting me into your life as your trainer. But I do mean that as well. But also this, the ability or opportunity to affect other people. I mean, it truly is. It's an awesome thing. I'm very passionate about this. And I just think being in each other's lives is going to be a true blessing. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Me too, man.
Thank you.
Great to meet you. Thank you so much. All right. This is Miracle of Miracles from Fiddler on the Roof. Buy it. Love you guys.
Wonders, miracle of miracles. God took a Daniel once again, stood by his side, and miracle of miracles, walked him through the lion's den. Wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles. I was afraid that God would frown, but like he did so long ago in Jericho, God just made a wall fall down. When Moses softened Pharaoh's heart, that was a miracle. When God made the waters of the Red Sea part, that was a miracle too. But of all God's miracles, large and small, the most miraculous one of all is that out of a worthless lump of clay, God has made a man today. Wonders, miracle of miracles. God took a tailor by the hand, turned him around, and miracle of miracles led him to the promised land. When David slew Goliath, yes, that was a miracle. When God gave us manna in the wilderness, that was a miracle too. But of all God's miracles, large and small, the most miraculous one of all is the one I thought could never be. God.